God is good. So I did forget to say that it's at 9 o'clock, the men's breakfast. So if you were wondering, 9 a.m. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we started looking at Philippians, and we got to look at this really, really cool situation of realizing that we as believers live in a win-win situation. There is no loss for us. We are blessed here on earth to be able to labor for the Lord, and we are blessed with eternal hope that we will one day reign with God our Father in heaven. And so we are doubly blessed. We are in a win-win situation. But there's another reality that comes out of what Paul said, the idea of to live is Christ and to die is gain. And the reality is this, is that Paul knew his time on earth was growing short. He realized there in prison that there was a lot of uncertainty about his life. Would he ever get out again? Would he ever see the church in Philippi, or would he die in that jail cell? And so it caused me to think about life. You know, when we are in a position where our lives are coming to an end, we start thinking about things differently, don't we? We start to look at the things that we have and start thinking, who do I want to have my possessions? You know, so-and-so always loved grandmother's ring, and I wasn't willing to give it up, but you know what? My time is drawing short, and I want to make sure that they have grandma's ring. And so that ring gets passed on. Or they start to think about the people that they want to see again, those people who live in other places who they love but haven't seen in years, and start thinking about maybe it's time to make the phone calls. Maybe it's time to get that person to come and to be here because life is short and I want to see them again. I want to hear their voice again. You start to think about all the places that you've been that you hoped you'd get to go again. Start thinking of all those trips, those family vacations, and all of the wonderful memories that you had, and you start to think about things where you wanted to go, those places you wanted to see, that trip to Paris that you had hoped someday would happen that never had. And so when we start to get to that phase in our life where we realize it's coming to an end, my days are numbered, you really start to figure out what people value. And so Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. You see, the Apostle Paul, for him, his whole focus was on the kingdom. His whole focus was on these people that God had called him to look after. And so he wanted them to know these things, saying, I know, I may not be here much longer. So whatever happens, whether I'm here, whether I'm gone, these are things that I want you as believers to do. And the first thing he says is to stand firm. Stand firm. Plant yourselves. You know, when we were looking at our spiritual armor, what did he say? After you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Plant yourselves. Be set. Now, one of the things that I think is important as we look at this, and he's telling them to stand firm in the one spirit, is that all of us, You, me, every single one of us, we are one in that spirit. We are united in that spirit. We stand in a firm line together, creating a barrier to Satan, preventing him from attacking. And so when one of us falls down, when one gets hit, when one gets hurt, you pull them back from the front line and you fill, and your shield stands and you hold firm as a line. You fight together, connected, united, and standing firm. Brothers and sisters, when someone's hurting and we don't pick them up, we're breaking the line. We're breaking that protective barrier. And so Paul says, I want you to stand firm. I want you to be there for each other, because I won't be. My time is coming to an end, and you need to fill the gap. Stand firm together as one. Now, when we look at this, the idea of standing firm, one of the things I love about Jesus is he was no politician. Jesus was not a diplomat. He did not walk into the room and go, well, I understand why you feel that way, but here is another perspective. And I'd like you to maybe look at, oh, well, you know, you're probably right on this point, but maybe just a little bit off. No, he told you how it was. He walked in and said how it was. I'll follow you, Jesus. Well, then you better understand. You're not going to have a place to sleep. You still want to follow? Let me go bury my father. Well, you can go do that, but I'm moving on. So you decide. Either you're coming with me or you're not. He was not a diplomat. He wasn't the type of person to... He wasn't just going to tell you whatever you wanted to hear. He told you the truth. And in Matthew 10, verses 16 through 22, when he was sending out his apostles, he said, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to local councils to be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you will say or how you will say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The one who stands firm. You see, Jesus was telling them, and all who would carry his name after, you know what? You're going to be persecuted. It is going to happen. This is not a possibility. It's going to happen. So why are we so surprised when we're mocked by our culture as idiots because we're not atheists? Why are we so shocked that college professors at secular schools are willing to mock Jesus openly in their classrooms? Why are we surprised when our news media overlooks the fact that the people that were killed in the school shooting in Oregon were believers who were asked the question, do you believe in God? We're shocked. We're stunned. We can't understand it. The fact of the matter is God told us clearly, you will be persecuted. It's going to happen. So let's stop being shocked by it, okay? Let's stop looking at it and going, what? Where did this come from? Because we know the truth is that persecution is a part of our faith. And that's why it's so important for us as believers to stand firm, because these persecutions are not going to go away. They'll always be right in front of us. You see, the idea of standing firm is something that God called Judah to when they were faced with battle. They were faced with persecution, enemies coming and attacking. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 14 through 17, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph. As he stood in the assembly, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, to all that and to all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge of the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." And then in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 20 through 24, "Early in the morning they left the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, Judah, and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful.' After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever.' As they began to sing the praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Amnon and of Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate that. After that, they finished slaughtering the men from Seir. They helped to destroy one another. Then the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army. They saw only dead bodies lying on the ground, and no one had escaped." You see, we tend to think of ourselves as the ones who are having to get things done, don't we? I got to set up this, I got to do that, I've got to organize this, I've got to be effective, and all of these things. But you see, what we're taught about standing firm, we're taught, as Art preached, about Moses and the children of Israel. And as we're looking at here today, standing firm simply means I trust in the promises that God has given me. He promised he would fight my battle. He promised he would win the war. And so when we stand firm, we are saying, when we say, I don't care what kind of persecution you throw at me. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you come at me. Jesus Christ is Lord. We are standing firm in a promise of God that I got you. I'm going to win this battle. Isn't that what the whole book of Revelation is about? I'm going to win this battle. There are evil forces attacking you, but I am going to win this battle. And so we stand firm in the promises of God. But the question is then, what are we standing firm for? And the Apostle Paul, as we go back to Philippians, is telling us that we strive for the faith of the gospel without fear. Now, as we stand firm in the gospel, we probably ought to know what the gospel is, right? Is the gospel the whole Bible? Is the gospel, what is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8, this is what the Apostle Paul tells us. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached you, which you received and on which you stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly," there's that word again, "to the word which I preached you. Otherwise you will have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." Now, why did I read all that? Because our message is simple. Now, I know I've said this before, but I want to reiterate it. Like the Apostle Peter said, it doesn't bother me to remind you that this message is simple. The message that we've been sent to take to the world is this: Jesus Christ died for your sins. All of the sins that you've committed, he died for. He was buried in the grave, and unlike any other man in the history of the world, he rose from the dead. And he is alive, and he has conquered death. And you, as his people, get to walk in an eternal hope that you will live with him in eternity, never to face a second death, so that we know when we die that we will rise again. See, the message is simple. And we have all been tasked with the same responsibility of spreading this message. Just like Peter and John before the Sanhedrin, just like Stephen when he was stoned, just like Paul before Felix, we are to share the gospel message. That's our call. This is Paul at the end of his life looking and saying, I want you guys to tell everybody. Don't hide this message. This is the hope of life. Get out there and share it. Well, I'm sure there's some tension you're building up. I'm not a preacher. I'm not Paul. I'm not Stephen. I'm not Peter and John. I got some news for you. Neither was Moses. Remember how upset God got with him when he wasn't willing to go and speak? You see, the simple truth is God gave you a simple message so that anyone could carry it. Anyone. You don't have to be a great speaker. You don't have to be super confident. All you have to do is be willing to stand firm in it. To have that confidence to say, no matter what, maybe I can't answer all your questions. Maybe I can't figure it out, but you know what? I know one thing is true. In my heart, I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that he was buried and he rose again. And if that's all you can say, you've done it. But that's where we stand firm, is in this message and in this belief of what God is doing. Now, you may be concerned, what if I don't say the right thing? What if I mess up? Well, if you remember when we read in Matthew 10, verse 19, what did he say? Don't worry about what you're going to say. When you're put on trial, when somebody says, well, what do you have to say about evolution? How does evolution work with the Bible? You know, we may get uncomfortable. Like, well, I don't know. I don't know how that works out. I don't have all the answers about what evolution is. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us, and he will give you the word. He will give us the word. And that's where we lack confidence. Do we really believe that we are led by the one Spirit? Because if we do, then we have to believe that we can share this message, because Jesus promised us that the Spirit would give us the words. So when we shut down and we go quiet, well, Satan's just won. He's just won the battle in our hearts, because we've been told that we can be confident that God is going to give us the words to defend his kingdom. So casting out that fear, that gospel without fear, be bold. Don't be afraid. Be confident in what God is doing for you. And he tells us that our standing firm is a sign to those who are lost that they are being destroyed and that we are being saved. Did you ever stop to think about the fact that your firm, confident stance in the gospel could be the very thing that saves someone's soul? In the 1960s in communist Russia, there were two girls, Maria and Varya. Now, Maria and Varya were very, very different people. Maria was a devout Christian. She loved the Lord, and she was unashamed of it, and she would share the gospel whenever she got a chance. Varya, on the other hand, was a big part of the Communist Party. She believed hook, line, and sinker in communism, in atheism, that the only higher power was the government, and she bought into it 100%. But one day, Varya started thinking, and she started watching Maria, and she went to her. And I want to read to you. This is straight out of Jesus Freaks by DC Talk. They did it in correlation with The Voice of Martyrs. But this is directly out of the book. One day Varya said, "I cannot understand what a being you are. Here so many insult you and hurt you, and yet you love everyone." Maria said, "God has taught us to love everyone. Not only our friends, but also our enemies." "Can you love me too?" Varya asked. Maria hugged her, and they both began to weep. She saw the persecution that Maria had been through, and it touched her. Because Maria didn't back down, she didn't get timid, she simply took the beating. Varya's life was going to change drastically. Varya became a Christian. And she didn't just become a Christian, she became a bold Christian. And there in communist Russia, she preached the gospel with boldness to the point that they sent her to a prison camp. And Maria, after she found Varya, went to her, tears in her eyes, looking at how skinny and drawn out Varya looked, and she asked her, "Do you regret what you've done?" And Varya smiled with a beautiful smile and said, "I don't regret one thing about it. And if I was asked to do it again, I would do it all over again." That's what our faith can do. That is the power of our faith to change lives. You see, people sometimes go for arguments. You can logically teach people about Jesus, but you can teach them so much more just by standing firm, by letting that light shine through you. And so the last thing that Paul tells them is that he wanted them to continue to suffer for the gospel. James, in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face various trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance." He told them it was granted to them to believe. Whoa, that's cool. And now he says, alongside of that, being granted to believe sounds great. But he also says it's been granted to you to suffer. How many of us think to ourselves on a regular basis, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me suffer. I am so appreciative of the fact that I'm being tormented by my coworkers, and I am just so happy. Thank you. Amen." It's not in our nature. But you see, what we have to understand, and what I didn't understand when I was younger, because I read James 1, and I was like, "This guy's nuts." But when you actually look at it, in Hebrews 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes the people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." You see, the beauty of suffering is that we get to do for Jesus what he did for us. Amen? We get to be someone who's willing to suffer for the good of others. And suffering, Jesus promised that when we suffered, that if we stand firm to the end, we will be saved. You see, suffering's a part of life. It's a part of what we have to go through, getting through. Because Jesus told us this is part of life. This is part of what will happen when you love me, when you are my child, when you walk with me, that I will be sure to save you. You don't have to worry. So standing firm, brothers and sisters, you've got your armor. It's perfectly equipped. You have everything you need to stand firm. And so, the thing we have to understand, the gospel is yours to stand firm in. It's yours to share with those who are around you. And it is yours to be blessed to suffer for. Peter told us, well, it's nothing if you suffer for no reason, but if you suffer for Christ, you'll be blessed. So my encouragement for you this week is this. Do not be afraid. Do not feel like you are not equipped. You have everything that you need to know to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Be bold in your faith. Be confident in what God is doing in you. And let him win the battle. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to thank you for the heart of your servant Paul. I thank you that you didn't look at him as we would have looked at him, as a person that was too far gone, a murderer, a terrorist, a man who nothing good could come out of. But you looked at his heart and you saw a man who loved you and who was off track, and that you brought him into the fold. And I thank you that you gave him the heart of a father to care for us. For we know that his care wasn't just for that generation, but for all generations to come, that he loved us and wanted at the end of his life of sharing his message for us to know that these things are the important things. These are the things that our lives need to dwell on and that we need to put as our focus. And so, Lord, I ask you now, give us the strength to stand firm together, to put aside our differences, to put aside our issues with each other, and that when we see that a brother or sister has fallen, that we pick them up and we draw them into a safe place and build them back up so that they can stand firm. I pray that the gospel message will be the message off of our lips. Everywhere we walk, everything we talk, every way we act out our faith in our lives will reflect your Son. And give us the strength to remember that it is in suffering that we are saved, that it was through your Son's suffering that we are saved, and that we get the opportunity to share in that. Give us courage to accept the suffering for your kingdom. I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.